Well, I don't know if any of you have noticed, but I think we're in the end times. We believe that the end times began with the birth of Christ, but now we're at the end of the end times. And one of the ways that we know that is the signs that Scripture gives us. And if you'll turn with me to 2 Timothy in chapter 3, we'll give one of the most famous passages that give us the telltale sign that we're getting close. You know, as you look through history, what you can see is really it hasn't been till just recent years that we've seen a rebellious spirit, especially in the home. All through the times of history, there's been an honor and even a kind of reverential fear for parents. But this has changed radically. So this is one of the signs, if you look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of self, or use selfies, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's one of the things that you probably couldn't have seen in recent years, because the ability for most people to be a lover of pleasure was difficult. They were just living from day to day, but now people can actually love pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then it states this in verse 5, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. And I don't think I've seen more than at this time this sense of we're holy and wonderful people. You see people exalting themselves as benevolent, as altruistic individuals that are helping so many people. I mean, we just plaster this all over the TV. We're heroes by virtue of doing our job. And there's an elevation of man. We'll rescue you. If nobody else will, we will. We are the Savior. And we see humanism actually being elevated to the position of Messiah, our Savior. If you look with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, this kind of goes hand in hand with the spirit of the world, and especially the end of the end times. And that is to say that there is a spirit of rebelliousness and a spirit of narcissism that fundamentally says, look at me, I'm number one, I'm first. With that comes a spirit of lawlessness. It is to be noted that Matthew chapter 24, verse 12 says that because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. And it's an interesting way of describing actually psychotic behavior. The word comes from that word cold, breathing out cold. And what it's talking about, of course, is that the person becomes unfeeling because they have no sense of boundaries. They can do whatever they want to, and they feel the freedom to do that. And so by virtue of only looking out for themselves and only thinking about themselves, they could care less about anybody else, and they live their life that way. So there becomes a detachment and a callousness. It's one of the things that sin produces in the life. This is actually going to be increased in these latter days. And I hate to say it, but we've seen a tremendous increase of lawlessness in our day. If you look with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it tells us that, it actually tells them in that passage, you don't have to be deceived about the end times. It's not going to happen until the lawless one ultimately comes and reveals himself. States this in verse 3, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless apostasy comes first. And the man of lawlessness, see the passage? The man of lawlessness will be revealed, the son of destruction. He then states in verse 7, without us going into a great study of this passage, he then states in verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Now, that was close to 2,000 years ago, but what Paul was saying is that it's already stirring. And one of the things that was stirring that had not ever stirred up to this point is that a new way of thinking was being generated in this day, and it was the philosophy of men. Up to this point, what you had is the worship of all kinds of other gods. That was nothing new, all the way back to the Tower of Babel. But what was new was the philosophy of men. And that came into Greek thinking. And with that Greek thinking was, you know, your opinion. It wasn't a matter that was necessarily based on truth. It was a matter based on philosophy. And basically the word philosophy comes from loving wisdom, being fond of wisdom. And when they're talking about that, it's not the wisdom of God, it's talking about man's wisdom. And fundamentally it's man thinking, well, I have an idea. And he begins to philosophize about things. Well, this now takes precedence over the fact that there is an absolute, and so everybody has kind of their ideas of what truth is. This is where you get agnostics. What is truth? You can't, truth can't be known, right? There's no such thing as truth. Everybody, whatever your truth is, that's, I mean, you have rights. You can believe whatever you, well, this breeds a spirit of lawlessness. Who can tell me what to do? You can't tell me what to do. I know better than you do. And that breeds that spirit of lawlessness, which ultimately breeds the callousness. So he says, the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. And we know what restrains this now is, of course, I believe he's making reference to the church, and in particular, those that abide by the law and the laws by virtue of submitting themselves to God's laws. But in the passage, he's warning that the day is going to come. And in this, this spirit of lawlessness that begins to divide. What's to be noted about 2 Thessalonians is one of the main reasons for it being written is he saw that sense of rebelliousness come in. And what does it create? I'll tell you what it creates. It creates a bunch of people that don't go to work. And if you remember, that's how the book of 2 Thessalonians ends in chapter 3. He says, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Now, he wasn't being cruel in that. What he was doing was he was subduing riots. Because you get a bunch of people that don't work and think that everything, they deserve everything. And they become hostile and arrogant, and they become actually aggressively vicious towards people. And so, and I've often wondered, where do these people come from? Why do they have all this time to be throwing rocks and to be angry at people? And I would say that the reason is that there is this sense of you can't tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. And so it's that spirit of lawlessness that breeds that. And what's the best thing to do? Well, get them thinking about somebody else. Get them thinking about helping somebody else. Get them working and at least taking care of themselves. Paul will say in 1 Thessalonians, what you ought to do is you ought to work hard with your hands so that you're not in any need. And then ultimately Ephesians will say, and work hard so that you can help somebody else. This is the spirit of course Christ in us that would do that. But you can begin to see how this begins to permeate. Young people begin to think that they're far brighter than the old people because they know more about computers than they do. So there is a sense of arrogance, and of course we're seeing a whole generation that really don't even work with their, I mean, why does Scripture say work hard with your hands? I mean, there's a lot of energy in a young person. And you get them sitting around a computer all day long, where's the energy going, you know? And they begin to get full of themselves and everything like that. So it just literally sucks the humility out of somebody. And then you pay them a lot of money for doing things that are, you know, something that comes natural to them, and they get money too quick. Proverbs says, you know, you're going to have problems if you get an inheritance too fast. So what does that create? And once again, there's an entitlement, all kinds of things begin to happen. Well, we're seeing this, and the foundation is being laid in our society because we've never had a society that works in this kind of realm, and it's part of the last days. There is an interesting verse I'm going to end with in Daniel in chapter 12, if you turn there with me. Daniel chapter 12, which I think in a very simple way will state it and will clarify some of the things that I'm saying here. It says in Daniel chapter 12, as he turns to Daniel, and he fundamentally says, you know, you've been writing about things that will happen at the end. He says, close the book, it's not going to happen in your day. So he closed the book, but now the book is being opened. And Revelation, the book of Revelation came, which, what does Revelation mean? Unveiling. So God is beginning to unveil these things, apocalyptos. So if you look in Daniel chapter 12, it reads this way in verse 4. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of the time. Look at the phrase here, which really describes the beginning of the end, so to speak. Many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase. Boy, it says so simply, isn't it? But we live in a day in which knowledge has exploded, and everybody goes and is able to go wherever they want to go. And it's one of the great signs that builds up a sense of pride and arrogance. As James says, you know, some of you say, I'm going to go to such and such a city and do this and do whatever I want to do. He says, you should say instead of the Lord wills. But we get full of ourselves. We begin to boast about things that we don't control. And we live in a world in which it's all about me. And where do you think that's going to head? So cheer up. Things are going to get worse, and we're going to get closer to the coming of the Lord. Amen. Father, we give you thanks for your word, and just realizing that these are all signs that you said would happen. But this is all part of you coming. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.